I try to be that role model for those kids every day. And that's why I love teaching. That's why I love working with kids. I've been doing this over 25 years, and I just think this is, I have the best job in the world.
Welcome back to The Stage, the official performing arts podcast of the NFHS. I'm your host, Ken Burke, and our guest today is Ramon Rivera, Mount Vernon School District Mariachi Director, Mariachi Artist, and 2023 Washington State Music Educator of the Year. Ramon Rivera began teaching mariachi in the late 90s and brings a wealth of knowledge on this subject and about teaching into this conversation. Ramon, thank you so much for coming on today, sir. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. And I know that you just came from Seattle. You came from the Pacific Northwest. So you know how beautiful this area of the country is, and that you know that you got to see the folklorical perform. And I'm just excited to have this platform to talk about mariachi education.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was so cool to see perform at the summer meeting. And it was just great to, you know, see all of Seattle and just the great atmosphere that that city and that culture brings. But the first question I wanted to ask you right off the bat, what did you want to be when you grew up, and how did you get to where you are now?
Well, and it all starts with somebody believing in you, believing in you. And so that's my mom. My mom went to a yard sale and bought a trumpet, and it was like a, you know, $50 trumpet. And she goes, "One day you're going to be a mariachi." I go, "Yeah, right, Mom." And so she signed me up for band, and I was in elementary school band, middle school band, high school, college. And that's what gave me the power that I get to do today is music education. If it wasn't for her to believe in me and say, "Look, here's this trumpet. You're going to teach a whole bunch of people. You're going to play in front of 1,000 people." I said, I was only in fourth grade. I didn't know any better. But, you know, it takes that one person, like my mom and all the music teachers through the years, to say, "Hey, you're really good at the trumpet. Now let's learn mariachi music." And so in high school, I joined a mariachi band, and then my brothers became part of mariachi. So I come from a family of mariachi. My mom is mariachi, my brothers, my sisters. And so it's a family affair. But now that mariachi education is in the public schools, anybody can learn mariachi, because it used to be passed on by family, like the Rivera family would pass it down, or the A Gonzalez family would pass down this tradition, et cetera. And so now everyone can learn mariachi music. You don't have to be part of a family of do it. So I'm very honored to explain to people how you could teach mariachi and how it's exploding here in the United States.
Yeah, wow, that's so cool. And how did you get your start in music education, and specifically mariachi? How did that happen?
Well, I when I was a teenager and I was 16, 17 year old, they had something called the Boys and Girls Club, and they had a mariachi teacher, but they needed someone to teach trumpet. So I learned how to play trumpet, and I started volunteering a couple hours after school. And once I got to work with kids and see how that changed their lives, I was like, wow, this is amazing. I love performing. I do. I love playing my trumpet. I love dancing. I love singing. I love playing for different events. But you know, the real power is how you could change people's lives. Because when I'm here as a music educator, is that I want to change kids' lives and give them those positive outlets, because I seen it. We had kids at the Boys and Girls Club that were into negative outlets. Mm-hmm. And all it took was giving them that guitar, giving them that trumpet, giving them that voice to sing. And it really just gave them that positive outlet, because I really believe that if kids are in cheerleading or in drama or in chess club, I don't care what they are in, if they have that positive outlet, they won't pick up the negative outlet, like the gun or the gang, or join something negative. We have to do this. That's why activities like mariachi or cheerleading or dance is so important, because if we don't have these positive outlets for kids, especially now with in our society, we're going to lose our youth. And so that's why I am so passionate about, we found another vehicle where we could get kids excited about going to school. Because if we don't have a connection to school. And I don't care if it's, again, mariachi, cheerleading, whatever. This is a way to get our students back at school. I always say this when they talk to me, they're like, well, kids are failing. Kids are not engaged. I said, more art, more music, more dance. Let's spend our resources on that, because once kids feel comfortable and excited to go to school, they do better in school. All statistics show it. You have tons of statistics that show the kids that are in basketball, baseball, cheerleading, mariachi, folklorico, they are do better in school. So why aren't we investing all our resources towards this? And I know I'm speaking to the choir here, but I really think that especially Latinos have a high dropout rate with Black and Latinos. It's a high dropout rate in their connection with school. This is a perfect vehicle to get those kids back in school, excited about school, and have that connection, that school pride, that cultural pride, the self-esteem. All this stuff is not in a book, right? It's not in a grade book. It's all taught. We're teaching them life, right? Teaching them about music, teaching about being leaders. So this is why I became an educator, because all the 20 things that I mentioned right now is my superpower, right? To work with these kids and change their lives and make them believe in themselves, because a lot of the youth nowadays have self-esteem issues, have issues where they're not connected to school. So I try to be that role model for those kids every day. And that's why I love teaching. That's why I love working with kids. I've been doing this over 25 years, and I just think I have the best job in the world.
Yeah. Wow. That's so inspirational. And Ramon, what are the unique benefits of being in mariachi? Because you, like you just said, students have so many different activities they can participate in, and that those are all great. But mariachi specifically, what are the benefits of participating in that?
Well, what's great about mariachi music, it is for everybody. Mm. It's for the whole family. And it's good family music. So what it is the kindergarten 5-year-old student could listen to mariachi, and grandma could listen to mariachi, and grandpa and your aunt and your uncle. So this is a great way to engage families, because I know a lot of schools have difficulties in engaging the Latino families to come to school. Why? Because they don't know the system, they don't know the language, they don't believe that their culture is recognized. So I see it, I've seen mariachi programs engage families. And that's the most important part. If you have grandma involved, if you have the community involved, and you have mom and dad, the Hispanic chamber involved, it takes a village. So one of the benefits of mariachi is that we play a song that's over 100 years old. But we're keeping this folk art alive, right? We're keeping this music alive. Where when I teach a song, they go, you know what, Mr. Rivera? This is my grandma's favorite song. This is my uncle's favorite song. I can't wait to go home and tell them that we're playing this song. So what I love about it is that the music, it's more than just teaching the notes on the page and the music. They're going home when they have dinner together or their family gatherings, and they're saying, we're learning this in school. And what better connection is that with the families and the communities and parent engagement and student engagement? And so I really believe that my classroom is a community center, and that people could use that as a vehicle to come in to our classrooms and get those parents in the schools. That's the hardest thing. If a parent is involved in school and involved in their education, the kid does better. The school does better. We all win. Everybody wins. So I see it in sports, but I think mariachi really, really engages those Latino families that need to be engaged in our schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, for those that are unfamiliar, that are listening to this, they're unfamiliar with mariachi. Can you just give us some background on the history and the cultural significance?
Mm-hmm. So mariachi music is traditional Mexican music. It's music from Mexico, which includes instruments, the guitar, the vihuela, the guitarrón, the trumpet, and singing. So, and violin. And so it's a group of like 6 instruments that they perform traditional music. Now, as I told you before, the music was transferred by family member and by taught by the elders. But now big music publishing companies have published sheet music so that a music teacher could teach this mariachi style. So it's like jazz band, right? There's jazz band, there's mariachi, there's this, and there's orchestra. And so now it's become mainstream. And now mariachi music was a folk music. But now, as you see, the outfit that I'm wearing today is become something that is in TVs and movies and commercials, because it's something very prideful to our Latino community, but anybody could learn mariachi music. So the history of mariachi music is over, it's a tradition over 100 years old, but if you put those instruments together and you do the singing and you do the playing, I see that anybody could learn mariachi music. And also I teach folklorico, which is the traditional dance that goes along with the music. So the group that you saw, they were dancing to mariachi music. So what you have is you have a way of engaging kids through instruments, and then you have a way of engaging kids through dance. So it has both worlds together. And then when they perform, it's just very magical. And people see that. I know at the conference, we saw people like, wow, I love these dresses. I love the colors. And then I saw they put it in your newsletter and stuff like that. And they just had to put it because it's something that is engaging, not just to the Latino community, but to everybody. Everybody loves mariachi music. And the best way to bring people together, as you know, is food. And music. And who doesn't like mariachi music? And who doesn't like Mexican food? Mm. I have never met anybody who doesn't like Mexican food. Ken, I know you love Mexican food, right?
Yes, who doesn't? Of course.
But you don't. You don't. So if what a way to bring people together now with, you know, divisions that we have in the world and fractions, I really see people sitting together and celebrating music, art, and culture together, because that's what we're promoting, music, art, and culture. And that's what mariachi music's all about. It's more than just the music. It's about family. It's about engagement. It's about cultural pride, self-esteem, making our families feel pride in their school and that they're recognizing their culture, because representation matters. Representation matters when you're talking about music, because, you know, when I do my teaching, I make sure that, and I do workshops with teachers and around the country, and I go, look, we need to be teaching from mariachi to Mozart. If we're not teaching from mariachi to Mozart, I do love Mozart. I love Beethoven. I love Bach chorales. I love all that stuff, but there's so much more. Who doesn't love Gloria Estefan? Who doesn't love Carlos Santana? Who doesn't love Mariachi Sol de Mexico? So I really think that we're expanding the music curriculum with adding mariachi. So I really think that someone who's listening to this and say, how can I add mariachi to my school program? I gave you a link with some free resources, but also is that there are some simple things that you could just add to you. Don't have a full-blown mariachi program, but you could go, Hispanic Heritage Month is coming up, and I have some lessons where you could go, hey, today we're covering Gloria Estefan. We're going to listen to her music when she comes in. Carlos Santana, Selena, and this Mariachi Sol de Mexico. So I really think it's just exposing it, because a lot of our schools are heavily Latino populated. And if you recognize the culture, you have that connection with students. And I'm sorry if I go off on the questions, but other subjects come up and I'm just so passionate. So if you have to stop me, go for it. But I just love talking about this.
No, I love every single answer you've given. And, you know, that reminds me, the NFHS is doing a composer diversity project right now, and we're getting ready to release those findings where we, you know, surveyed different states and found, you know, how diverse are their song selections they have. And I think that's a really good point of, you know, being diverse with your students, with your music selections. That's it's really important.
And I like what you said, mariachi to Mozart, but do you really walk the walk and talk the talk when it comes to diversity. Because I know a lot of schools put up a pretty banner and said, we are diverse, we are inclusion, we are all that. But are you, as a teacher, you have the power in your four walls to make sure that you cover all types of music. And you have Black composers, you have Mexican composers, you have Latino composers. You do your best to cover everyone because we teach everybody who walks through that door. As a music educator, I don't care what nationality, what race you are. I teach you, no matter what label they gave you, autistic, whatever label they gave you, IEP, this and that. We have to make sure that we make every student who walks through that door welcome. So what a better way than connecting with kids? If I taught with a group of majority Latino students or a third Latino students, I'd be bringing in all that music. Or if I taught at a Black school, I would be like, okay, we're going to bring in hip hop and bring in jazz. And so you teach to your demographics. So you teach your demographics always. And then you be, even if you don't have any Latino students, bring in that music. It's beautiful music. Who doesn't like Carlos Santana? He's like the best guitar player ever. When I learned guitar, I said, I wish I could play. I was inspired by him. When I started playing guitar, I said, maybe I could play like 2% as good as Carlos Santana, but I don't think I'll ever get that good. But
I'm sure you were pretty good. But Ramon, from the outside looking in, I didn't know Washington State was such a diverse culture, had a diverse culture. How have you seen mariachi and really music education as a whole? Have you seen that really diversify your music program and just give students a platform, no matter what background they may come from?
Well, I see that the population of Washington, about 20% of the state is Latino. And so there wasn't these programs to engage them. So I really saw that the Pacific Northwest said they saw the revolution. Because if you go to Las Vegas, they have the biggest mariachi program in the United States. I mean, it's huge. I think they have like over 20,000 students that are doing it. And then Texas, you know, nothing small in Texas. Texas is the biggest and best. If you watch, just look up Texas Mariachi High School. They are the best. That's just how they are in Las Vegas. And so they saw that that was engaging. So I really think that in Washington State, in the Pacific Northwest, we have big Latino population, especially because of the agriculture. So if you went like just where I am in Mount Vernon, about an hour, we have the strawberries, we have the tulips, and then you go to Central Washington. Of course, we're the apple capital of the world. So the apples, the cherries, the pear, and a lot of our workers, our families work in agriculture. And so with agriculture brings a big Latino population, and a lot of them would migrate to like 3 months in Idaho to do potatoes, 3 months to do apples, 3 months to go to California and do strawberries and celery. And we had these groups of migrant students that would switch schools, like stay here 6 months, stay there 6 months. But now they're staying because of programs like mariachi. They're going to go, well, I feel comfortable at this school. Maybe we'll just do 6 months of strawberries and then work another job. And so we've seen that trend, especially in an agricultural state like Washington. In the Pacific Northwest, Idaho's potatoes, Oregon has a big lumber industry. So I really think that agriculture is bringing in these students, and then we're teaching them. Because the school year was made for agriculture. If you think about it, it's September through June, and then harvest season is June through August. And when I taught at Wenatchee, Washington, which was the apple capital of the world, the minute school ended, they started working on cherries. And then they worked on apples. And then they worked on... So I really think that's why the school year was made that, so we could harvest. We don't think about that because that was so back in the 1940s, yeah. Right? But to our students that are in the mariachi program or the folklorico program, they work with their families to work with apples, cherries, and pears. And so I think it's a great way of connecting these kids to school. So it's amazing how agriculture calendar has to do with music education, but it does, has a lot to do with it.
What challenges do you see music educators face when thinking about mariachi and teaching mariachi? And how can they, like, how can they see these challenges and how can they be addressed, I should say?
I really think a lot of them are afraid because they don't look like me, or they don't have the last name Rivera, and they're not a mariachi. But I really think that music educators already have that training, because you don't have to be black to teach jazz music. You don't have to be like me to teach mariachi music. You just have to have love for kids, and you'll be able to read a score. So if you're able to read a score and you learn the mariachi instruments, and there's a lot of sheet music out there, I really think that a lot of music teachers could enhance their program. I did a presentation, double your music program by adding mariachi. And it's true. If you want to add numbers to your program, add a mariachi, because there is an untapped market out there. A lot of our students are not in the band or in the orchestra or in the choir. They want to play mariachi music. So why, as a music educator, I'd be like, I'm all in on this, because I could do this. And I think one of the biggest roadblocks that we faced is the word cultural appropriation. I really think that it's not appropriating by teaching this music, you're celebrating this music. I really think that cultural appropriation is used so that they go, oh, you're appropriating, you can't teach it, you can't, and so they stop. And when I do trainings across the country, they go, I'm worried that I'm going to be called out on this. And it's a touchy subject. I know it is, but I really think that they need to go, I am the only music teacher at this school. I need to teach everything from mariachi to Mozart. That's our job. And by teaching mariachi, you're recognizing the culture, because as I said, representation matters. And representation matters in what you're choosing to teach the students. So if you're just teaching Eastern European music, that's great. Mozart, Beethoven, we all should learn about them. But why not add this, where we can engage students in a different way and think outside the box? Because I know when we went to music school, they said classical music, classical music, classical music, but there's so much more. I love salsa. I love merengue. I love mariachi. I love hip hop. I don't just play mariachi. I play everything. But we want students to be all around good musicians, right? That love everything. You don't want to be just a jazz musician or a classical musician. I'm a musician. Musicians everywhere, right? You just want to do everything. So I really think that teachers should not be afraid to add mariachi to their curriculum.
Wow. Are there any like stories or experiences from a student that really stuck out to you when they got involved in mariachi?
So I worked at Wenatchee, Washington, which is a apple farming community where the majority of the students worked cherries, apples, and pears. And what I did is I am a big advocate for higher education, because a lot of our families only had their parents only had a second or third grade education. They don't know the school system. So my goal as a teacher, as an educator, would be to take them to different universities and colleges and show them that they could go to this school, because a lot of our families wouldn't drive to the University of Washington in Seattle and spend the whole day and visit that campus and nowhere to go. So with my students, as much as possible, I take them to all these different universities and say, look, through music, you could get here. So I had a student, her name is Lori Bassan. And so she went to visit the University of Washington, and she was my violinist in the group, and she was one of my leaders in the group. And after she graduated, I helped her with her journey, and now she graduated. As she's a medical doctor from the University of Washington. And now we use her as a role model and say, look, someone that was just picking the cherries, the apples, the pears, is now a doctor because of music. She used her vehicle of music to become a medical doctor. And she comes into the classroom and she brings in her, she has a set of white coats, and she has the students try on the white coats and say, look, you could be a doctor someday. And then I have pictures I should show it to you. They're so cool that that she wears it and she shows them with pride that you could be a doctor. Don't think that you have to work in agriculture for the rest of your life. Use the vehicle, use the platform that you have learned, use the leadership. So when I see someone that becomes doctors or teachers or anybody who became a leader, because you know anybody who's involved in music, sports, or activities are better speakers, do better at the interview, and already know the self-confidence to become a leader. So these, when I see students use what they learn in my classroom and now become doctors or teachers or lawyers, and which I do, I have each in that category. But I really think the next part is having those students come back and talk about their journey. Because she talked, I didn't know half what she was saying. She was talking about all these medical terms. And and she showed these are x-rays. And this, so isn't that awesome that this, a student that you taught now is coming back and saying, hey, you could become a doctor. You could go to college. Because the University of Washington, only 6% of the school is Latino. And then if you look at doctorates, especially Latinas, it's like 2%. So we need, I think that this is the United States of America. We all have these opportunities. We just have to show the kids that you can make it. You can go to the University of Washington or WSU or whatever school. I don't care what school it is. We just have to show them that we could believe and that you could be a leader. And only through the power of music or music education or folklorico or whatever, those activities could change kids' lives. So I probably, by taking her to the university, maybe she saw the University of Washington. She goes, wow, I could go here. I never knew this existed. So you have that power as an educator. Use your platform. Get that bus to the local university. Some of these kids never walked on it. You never walked on a university campus. They don't know what a blue book is. I don't know if they still use blue books, but you know, they don't know what that experience is because their families didn't. So I think it's our job as educators. So look, this even playing field, anybody make it. If you work hard, you can make it in the United States. We have the best universities in the world. I mean, people come from all over the world to go to our universities, all over the place to learn from us. So take advantage of it, especially when like University of Washington is down the street from where we are at Mount Vernon. So yeah. I really am inspired by the students. That's what keeps me going every day is the students. I just see them becoming leaders and I see them being role models because we need to make our own role models. Our own role models, because I mean, it's great to see Cesar Chavez and it's good to see Martin Luther King. I love them and I think they're great, but let's have the Lori Bassan that became a doctor and put him up in the classroom and say, hey, this came from the same neighborhood, came from the same school, and now she's a doctor. And the more that we could put that in our classroom and the more that we could show students, teachers of color or doctors of color or lawyers or governors or whoever that are community leaders. And I try to do that as much as possible. Bring in anybody who a business leader or anybody that's made it. And we have to give the students hope. I think that's the biggest thing as a music educator is to give students hope, because I think a lot of society has not, they don't have somebody to believe in them. Like my mom who brought me that trumpet, she believed in me. And so as I try to model that too, I go, look, you look like a trumpet player. And they go, how do you know that? I go, I just need more trumpets. Or I go, you look like a guitarron player. All right, you did that. So, but all it takes is someone to believe in them and it changed kids' lives. That's why I love teaching so much, because I have the power to change kids' lives and empower our community to do a better, to be a better place, to have teenagers, because teenagers get a bad rap, right? You know that. Teenagers, you go on the media, this teenager did this, this teenager did that, but they don't cover the teenagers that are doing good things, that are getting A's and performing, like what you gave us that platform. You had four acts that were very diverse, right? We had Lincoln High School, we had Kendrick High School, we had the mariachi, and it was so cool that all these groups performed together, and I got to network with them.
And I said, will you perform at our school? And they're like, no, we want to learn. We want to learn what you're teaching. So that opportunity that you gave us to perform at summer meeting, I got to network with other schools that we haven't got to see. And one of the schools is I never seen a group, the folklorical group perform. And I've never seen the Lincoln High School dance group perform. So it was, that's what brings people together, is conferences like this and you giving us the platform. Use your platform, teachers. Use it, because you have a big one. You're a teacher already, but there's so many platforms that you could use to believe in bringing people together.
Wow. That was inspiring right there. I can't imagine sitting in a classroom with you every day. I would be running through a brick wall. Oh my gosh.
Well, I don't know if I'm doing more preaching or teaching, but I don't know. But I really believe in giving kids that hope.
Yeah.
I really believe in that. And if you model that and you could say, look, I wasn't the smartest kid in my class. I did not graduate 4.0 and I still made it. And I'm talking to you today in front of educators around the country and giving me that opportunity. I always tell the students, you could dream it, you could believe it, and you work hard, things will come your way. And it doesn't matter what people say. Haters will hate. People will always put you down. And you just keep on going. If you keep on going, I have people go, you're still at it? You're still doing mariachi? You're still talking? You're still doing? Yep. Someone's giving me a platform somewhere to talk about this. And so I really think that as an educator, and that's my real job as an educator. The rest is great, is use your platform. Tell kids that you are special, that you care for them, that you love and that you care for them and that you're going to go the extra mile for them. Because once the kids know that you love and care for them, they'll do anything for you. The secret of teaching is loving and caring. You could have all these other fancy iPads and boards and pretty stadiums. That means nothing. That means nothing if there's no loving and caring. So you could have the billion-dollar stadium, right? Yeah, there's a lot of football stadiums, spend a lot of money. But if there's no love and caring from the coach, there's no love and caring for the teacher, the program's not going to be successful. The best coaches, the best teachers is all about loving and caring. So I try to do that the best I can every day when I go in the classroom. On the first day of school, I'm ready to give that love and caring to those students.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I'm inspired. I know a lot of people are right now that are listening to this. But Ramon, as we wrap it up today, I want to ask you one last question that really wraps everything up together. What was your favorite activity in high school and how formative was that for you now?
Well, my favorite activity, of course, was band. I love being in band. I love doing the marching band. I love performing. I mean, we got to go everywhere. I have a memory where the band director was so awesome, Dr. Kalel, and he got us to dance with Whitney Houston at the World Cup in 1994 at the Rose Bowl. And I remember I have a picture. Back then we didn't have cameras. We didn't have all this kind of stuff. So I have one picture of our band just playing at the Rose Bowl with Whitney Houston. I mean, I can't believe Whitney Houston was right there. And so that would have never happened without me being in band. And so I did the sport that you didn't have to audition for or you didn't have to try out for. I did cross country. I was the worst cross country runner there is. I would always come in last place, but I got to wear the uniform. Mm-hmm. I got to be on the team and I got to do it. So you just got to think outside the box. That was one of my favorite parts was band. And also I was the best cross country runner there was. I'd come in last place all the time, but I loved it. I loved it because I got to travel with the team and I got to take the uniform, and that one's great. Cross country, you don't have to audition, right? There you go. You want to run? Run. It was so much fun. And I'll never forget that the coach gave me a chance to be on the team, and I'll never forget that. That was so cool.
Yeah. Ramon, I am so appreciative of you coming on today. I'm really just a privilege to get to talk with you and learn more from you about mariachi and your life and everything. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Ken. And I hope that the listeners out there, don't be afraid to teach mariachi. Don't be afraid to add mariachi to your curriculum. Reach out to me and the resources that you got. You could do it. Have a great school year, because The first day of school is so important. Tell your kids that you're going to love them, that you're going to care for them, you're going to give them hope, and they could be whatever they want to be. So thank you so much for giving me this platform today.
Absolutely. Yeah. For all the listeners out there, I will make sure to put the description in the description, all the links that Ramon sent. Please remember to subscribe to the show and share it with someone that you think would be impacted by what was discussed today. Sharing this episode with one teacher, coach, or administrator will go a long way, not only for us, but it could go a long way for them too. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to catch you next time on the stage.